This episode is sponsored by Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Now, we all have these things in our lives, what we call time squanders. Those 5 to 10 minute minutia little tasks that take up a lot of time throughout the rest of the day. And when you do them multiple times throughout the day, you end up wasting potentially 1 or 2 hours a day that you can get back and free up maybe 5 to 10 hours a week, right? Imagine what you can do with an extra 5 to 10 hours a week. And the perfect example of this is whenever you're losing files, notes, or photos and you can't find them, you often end up wasting 5 to 10 minutes every single time you're searching for something, right? Or when you're scanning for a particular email attachment in your email inbox and you get distracted and you lose sight of what you were trying to focus on, right? Imagine doing that 5 to 10 times a day and you end up wasting a lot of time. Well, in this episode, we're going to show you how you can organize your files, notes, and photos in such a way so that you don't have any of these time squanders ever again. Well, in this episode, we're going to share with you an easy way to get started with organizing your files, notes, and photos so you can find anything you would ever need within seconds instead of wasting 5 to 10 minutes here and there. And if you do this, you can win back a lot of free time. So if you're interested in that, you want to definitely listen to today's episode. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/351. And now, on with the show. And we are back for another episode of TPS, The Productivity Show, the number one podcast when it comes to productivity and efficiency. So my name is Tan. I'm the founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency. And with me today, I have Brooks Duncan, my co-host of the podcast. How are you today?
I'm great. Really excited about this topic. It's something I've done a lot of thinking about. So really excited to get into it on the podcast.
Yeah, this is kind of like your claim to fame in many ways. So I'm really excited to share with you and everyone else listening in some of the things that we've come up with when it comes to being efficient and saving time around organizing your files, notes, and photos. So before we start diving in, one of the things we always like to do on the show is share some of our favorite productivity resources as of lately. And I have three of them here for you. So the first one is an app called Duplicate Cleaner Pro, and this is specifically for Windows. So if you're someone who has trouble finding duplicate files, or you run into the issue of you're dealing with a lot of duplicate files and you're not sure which ones are duplicates, which ones are not, this is a really handy tool to, one, find duplicate files, and two, handle them efficiently and effectively as well, so you can get rid of the duplicate files, sometimes which can take up to terabytes, if not gigabytes, of data. So go check that out, Duplicate Cleaner Pro for Windows. And then if you're on the Mac, there's a similar app called Gemini 2 by a different company, but it has the same functionality. So it allows you to find duplicate files and deal with them more effectively. So whether you're on Windows or Mac, there's something in it for you. And then the third resource, as I mentioned before, that is related to this topic is a book. And that is called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Now, you might have heard of this book. There's even a Netflix show based on this book by Marie Kondo. And it's all about the idea of like organizing your physical space. There's a lot of parallels when it comes to organizing your physical space and your digital life as well. But today's episode is going to be more about the digital life. But I wanted to encourage this resource as well, because there's no book on digital organization right now, at least. So go check out those resources. We'll have links to all of them in the show notes as well. So don't worry if you miss something. You can always go to theproductivityshow.com/351 and find them there as well. All right, Brooks, we're going to be talking about organizing your files, notes, and photos. For those who are listening, some of them might be asking, you know, why is this even relevant? Why should I even bother, Brooks?
Yeah, well, organization in general and digital organization is part of that, really hits all sorts of different areas of our work life and our personal life. So you might have stuff scattered all over the place and you can't find anything. That just leads to lower productivity. Or maybe like you have a decent filing system. You know, you're not too bad. There are always ways to improve it and become a little bit faster, a little bit more efficient. And as we'll talk about, these little changes really do add up over time. So we want to give you an easy system to get started with this. And if you have been listening to the Productivity Show for a while, or maybe you're new, that's great too. We always talk about this concept called the T framework. And these are the three components of productivity, which we call time, energy, and attention. And if you have all three of these firing, you're going to be in really, really good shape. You almost can't help but be in really, really good shape productivity-wise. But if one or more is lacking, then you might have some challenges and opportunities to become a little bit more productive. And really, lack of organization, you know, it touches on all three, but the main ones are time. So if you have an organization system that isn't great, we waste a lot of time filing stuff away and, you know, just lack of organization. And if you don't have an organization system, or if you're not consistent with using the one that you have, then you waste time digging around trying to find that file, that note, that photo that we need. Whenever we need something, it just takes a lot longer than it needs to. So that's time. And then attention, you know, we can't really truly be focused or be present at work if we're frustrated because we're always like looking for stuff and we have this dread that we're going to have to like dig into our email inbox to find that attachment that somebody sent us. And we've talked to many of our readers and podcast listeners over time who just say it like really puts them off their game by having this lack of organization. So it kind of hits both parts. Time and attention. And if you can improve those, which we're going to be talking about today, you're really setting yourself up for success.
Yeah, the analogy I always like to give people when it comes to organization like this is, I know everyone has the experience of a really cluttered home, right? If your home is a huge mess, there's clothes everywhere, there's dishes in the sink that are unwashed and still dirty, there's stuff out of place, your desk has like papers and notes all over the place, it makes it really difficult to focus, and it feels like a little bit of a drag on your attention, but also you're wasting a lot of time because you oftentimes can't find stuff immediately, and it's really frustrating as well, and it can sometimes drain your energy even at the same time. And so when you realize that your place is such a mess, one of the best things you can do is to clean up your place, have it all organized, and it makes it so much easier to focus. Right. And it just takes a little bit of organization to kind of get to that place. And the thing that we realize is that there's no specific list of things or recommendations or best practices for digital organization. So we kind of want to introduce some of those ideas here on this episode. The audio format is great. However, we've decided that we also want to do a live webinar on this topic to kind of walk you through in the visual format how we organize our files, notes, and photos. So if you're interested in joining us, you can go to theproductivityshow.com/organize, and we're going to have a link here in the show notes as well, so you can click on it. But again, it is theproductivityshow.com/organize, and we'll have a webinar coming up relatively soon where you can sign up and attend live. And if you can't attend live, we'll have a recording for you available as well, where we will walk you through how we organize thousands of photos, notes, and files in a really an easy, systematic way. So if you're interested in that, go check out that URL. And next week's episode is all about how to win back 1.5 hours a day. And it's going to be related to today's topic as well, which is about digital organization. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that as well, because I think, Brooks, you and I, we both know this inherently, but I think a lot of people, what they don't understand and oftentimes don't realize is when they're at work, they're dealing with a lot of email attachments, they're dealing with a lot of files, they're dealing with a lot of meeting notes, and it's really frustrating and time-consuming sometimes to try to find all sorts of different things, but you don't either find them, or it takes a while before you find that specific photo or image or illustration that you need. And sometimes you end up wasting 5 to 10 minutes. And the question we always get when we tell people, well, wouldn't it be nice if everything was organized like this? People always say, well, is it really worth the effort of even getting started with organization? I have like thousands of files to deal with. Like, how much time can this really save me? I would rather deal with it right then and there rather than going on this organization project, right? Because a lot of people will just say, hey, you know, I can't even think about this right now. I have a deadline coming up. Like, there's just no way I have time to do this stuff. I don't even have time for a lunch break. How do I even find time to organize all my stuff? And the thing is, when you take that approach, you're always going to end up with all these inefficiencies and all these 5 to 10 minute tasks that rob you of your time. And we call these time squanders. So a time squander is like a 5 to 10 minute task that is totally pointless and useless that you can oftentimes eliminate and is oftentimes very inefficient. So an example of this is all of us have been part of big email chains, right? Where we have like 20 people on the email thread and we're sharing files and documents and there's like a version 17 of a presentation somewhere. And then maybe a week later you go, oh yeah, I need to look at that presentation at some point. And then you go through your email inbox, you're trying to find that specific presentation. And you have to read through like 20 emails to find what the latest version is. So you have to write one, right? That process alone can take sometimes up to 10, 15 minutes, right? That's what we call a time squander because it's totally ineffective and you don't have to be in a place where you have to dig through emails to find that specific file, presentation, or photo, right? What if you actually had that document saved somewhere and you could access it within 2 or 3 seconds? Imagine doing that like 5 to 10 times a day, you could free up easily over an hour. And that's like the big new opportunity that we want to share with you here today is that if you can eliminate a lot of those time squanders throughout your whole working day and even in your personal life, imagine all the things that you can do with an extra 5 to 8 hours a week, right? So the big idea here is that if you streamline a lot of those things here by saving the little time squanders and getting rid of them, you can have a lot of free time that you win back in a week. I mean, Brooks, what would you do with an extra hour a day or an extra 5 to 7 hours a week?
Oh my gosh, if I had that extra time, what I would probably do is use it for learning opportunities. So that's one thing I would probably do. We always feel like we don't have enough time to like take that extra course or do that extra professional development or just learn something that isn't, you know, related to our job. If I had that much extra time, that's probably what I would do throughout the week. How about you?
For a lot of people, when I asked them the same question, they would love to spend more time with family. They would love to read more books. They would love to take their kids out for an afternoon because sometimes those time commitments take like 3 to 4 or 5 hours, right? However, if you free up a 10-minute task and do that 6 times in a day, that's an extra hour that you can potentially win back, which you can use for reading more books, right? Because, for example, if you read 20 pages a day, right, that's like 30 books a year. Just think about that. And that's something I know you do, Brooks, because every morning you spend about, you know, 10, 15 minutes reading 20 pages or so to kind of get your day started. And guess what? You end up reading over 30 books a year. And it just starts with something so small and simple as reading 20 pages a day. Imagine what it can do and what's possible for you when you eliminate, you know, 5 to 10 minute tasks throughout your whole day. So with that premise out of the way, let's start with 3 ways you can organize your files, notes, and photos. So Brooks, I'm going to give you the first one here. What's the first way for us to organize all of this stuff?
All right. This is going to be a very, very simple tip, but it is one of my favorite tips. And it's something that saves a lot of time. It definitely saves me a lot of time every single day. And I know it will save you too if you're not already doing that. And that is to add your key folders to your sidebar. So whether we're talking Windows File Explorer, whether we're talking about the Finder in Mac, whether we're talking about your email program or Evernote or OneNote, Google Drive, you know, whatever it is that you use to work with your files or whatever notes or whatever, a super powerful strategy is to take those key folders that you use. Maybe it's the folders that you are working with all the time, like, say, a digital inbox or the folders where you store your key documents. Maybe it is temporary folder. So maybe you have like an ongoing project or a client file that you're working on. While you're working with it, put it in your sidebar. Then you always have one-click access to it. And then when you're done, you can take it out. And this has really, really two big benefits. Number one, when you need to file something away, so when you're saving information, you have one-click access to that location. And on the flip side, when you want to access a location, it's the same thing. It's right there, one click away. You don't have to navigate through a folder tree or a notebook tree or stacks in Evernote or whatever it is that you're using. It's right there available for you. And most of our systems have those pre-filled kind of system folders and locations, but not as many of us know that you can usually add your own things there. So I do this all the time. For myself, I have my inbox where I save my scanned documents and other things that I download that I want to file away. I have that right in my sidebar. I have what I call my reference folder, which is where I save my, it's kind of like my filing cabinet. I have that in my sidebar. And then I have some kind of project related folders for Asian Efficiency right there in my sidebar because these are things I access all the time. So this is a really, really simple, but really, really powerful tip. And if you're not already doing it, highly recommend it.
I'm going to take it a step further because a lot of listeners might be a little bit more advanced. And I would say, even if you are in that camp, chances are you probably access a lot of folders that you don't have in your favorites list. And again, this doesn't just apply to files and folders, right? Like if you're on Mac, whenever you have like an open window dialog or anything like that, you can have like quick access to stuff like that, but usually it requires a separate app. And this is one of my secret weapons called Default Folder X. So if you're on a Mac, go check this out. It's actually part of SetApp nowadays too. And it allows you to quickly save to a recently accessed folder. So it doesn't just have to be part of your favorites list. If you navigated to a folder recently somewhere in Finder, with a really simple shortcut, it will actually access that recent folder that you accessed, right? So even if it's not part of your favorites list. And so this is something I use all the time because, for example, I'll deal with blog posts a lot because I'm writing a lot of them. And then if I need to save like an image or something somewhere that I found on the internet, then typically in the past, I would have to like click around, right, in order to get to the right folder where the blog post is hosted. However, with default folder X, I can press like one quick short key and it will automatically go to the most recent folder that I visited. And it will actually memorize the last five or so that you've been to. So you can quickly navigate back and forth to the ones you visited. So it's one of those little things, but it saves you so much time in a day. And I probably save like 30 to 40 minutes every single day just with this little utility. And so even if you're in the advanced camp, one, use the favorites feature, right? And you can apply this in every single app. It does not apply just to Windows or Mac specific things. For example, in Evernote, you can have your favorites notes as a simple example, right? I use this all the time for my morning routine so I can kind of quickly access it and see what I need to do. I use this for my weekly planning. Every Sunday when I review my week, I have like a checklist of things that I go through and I quickly access it by clicking on it in the favorites section as well. And so any app that you use, look at its favorite options if it has one and then put stuff in there. And it takes about maybe, I don't know, 2 minutes to do right now, but it can save you so much time down the line. Again, it's one of those time squanders that we don't consider, but once you see it, and you start using it, you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't do this earlier.
I'm a big fan of Default Folder X too, so I'm so glad you mentioned it. I know there's a kind of Windows almost equivalent called Recent X, but if you're a Mac user, really recommend checking it out. It's one of those things that I keep expecting to break every time there's a Mac OS upgrade, because it seems like the sort of thing that would break, but somehow they do a good job keeping current. And yeah, that's another app that I use all day, every day.
All right, so that is tip number one. Before we move on to tip number two here, I want to give a special shout out to all of our TPS Plus subscribers. So this is the upgraded version of the Productivity Show. where you get episodes ad-free and a week early. Plus, you get access to bonus audio courses that we have for members only, along with a bunch of other benefits. And if you become a subscriber today, you also get a t-shirt from us that says one tweak a week, which is the whole idea of like small changes lead to big results. Kind of like how today's topic is relevant, right? If you can make small changes to how you manage your files, notes, and photos, it can lead to big results, meaning 5 to 8 hours of free time, potentially winning that back, right? So if you love our show and you want to support it or you want to get extra bonus content from us, go check it out at theproductivityshow.com/plus. And thanks everyone who has already subscribed and is a member right now. Thanks to Indeed for sponsoring The Productivity Show. I have hired lots of people over the years, and I have found that hiring the right people can give you a huge edge. If you hire people, you can find that edge and leverage it with Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster, only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. Indeed has tools like InstaMatch, which gives you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately. There's also Indeed Skills Test that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skill tests or add your own. Then add must-have requirements, so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. So get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/TPS. Indeed.com/TPS. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's move on to tip number 2 here. And that is to have a consistent, descriptive, and simple naming convention. Right. So tip number 1 was all about how to access stuff very quickly. But tip number 2, when it comes to digital organization, is making sure whatever you're saving something or creating something, that you have a consistent, descriptive, and simple naming convention, right? I'm sure we've all dealt with files that are called meetingnotes.doc or vacationphoto.jpg. And you go, oh my gosh, what is this? And now you have to open it, right? And then you have to go through hundreds of files to figure out which one you were actually looking for. And oftentimes we can't even find stuff because if we're trying to search for something and it doesn't have a descriptive name, we can't even find the things that we're looking for, right? So in my opinion, how you name something in your digital organizational system or knowledge management system or whatever you want to call it is by far the most important component. Because if you don't know how to name something, it makes it so difficult to find it. And we can't really rely sometimes on just the content, because sometimes we can only find stuff by name. Because if we have to dig through, you know, terabytes of data of content where it says like, hey, I'm looking for, you know, a bill from my electricity company, and it's embedded in the document that's a PDF. Imagine you're having like thousands of PDFs on your computer. It could take like sometimes, you know, an hour to find that stuff, depending how many files you have, right? But we can quickly find stuff if we name something properly, whether it's a file, a photo, a note in Evernote or OneNote or whatever you use. And I know, Brooks, you're a big, big believer of naming something. And you were the one who actually, you know, is a big proponent of like teaching people even way before Asian Efficiency and joining the team about like how to name something. So could you kind of like give your philosophy here?
Really, I totally agree with what you said. The having a name is really is the biggest part of organization, because it just lets you find things later. It kind of like covers up a lot of sins with the rest of your system. Like the better you name something, the more likely it is that you're going to be able to find it later, no matter where it is in your organization system, no matter how lazy you get with the rest of the filing and stuff like that. the better you do at naming something, the more likely you are to actually be able to find it again. And that's why we are doing all this, right? We're doing the work to organize things, not just because, you know, for some OCD reason, because we like things neatly organized. We're doing this so that we are able to get to the things we need later. This is something that a lot of people don't really think about, is the goal for what we're doing here. And everything has to be put through the lens of being able to find this stuff later. Otherwise, why bother? And really, my thinking for this actually began many, many years ago. I was at the very first Evernote conference back in 2011. And Brett Kelly, who I think has maybe been on the podcast before, he's a friend of yours, Tan, I know, a friend of mine. And he was doing his very first public speaking. And he said he was talking about naming Evernote notes, but this applies to anything. What he said, which has stuck with me ever since 2011, is you want to think of your future you. You want to think about, when you're saving something, how are you going to look for this later? What are some words that pop into your mind now that you would look for this later and have those in the name of your file, your document, your Evernote note, your OneNote note, your photo, like whatever it is that you're saving with. You don't want to be afraid to use a longer name. Yeah, it might take a half second longer to add, you know, one or two more words, but having a longer name, even if it's like four words or something like that, is great. It's no problem, because that just gives you additional ability to be able to find it later. One thing we like to do, and this is, we're going to get into a little bit of a difficult territory here, because we're going to be describing this stuff on an audio podcast. So like Tan said, you may want to consider signing up for the webinar that we're going to be giving soon, theproductivityshow.com/organize, where we're going to be showing this stuff on screen. But basically, what we like to do, what we recommend that you do, is always have the date in the file name or the note name or whatever it is. And we like to have that at the starting. So some people like to have like year dash month dash day. Some people don't like to have dashes. However you want to do it really doesn't matter. It's whatever is easiest and makes sense to you. The important thing is that you be consistent. So if I was naming, say, a credit card bill or a bank statement or something for April 30th, what I might do is call it like 2021-04-30 Citibank joint account.pdf or something like that. And so I know I've got the date in there. It's Citibank. It's my joint account that I have with my wife for April. And then I know later when I'm looking for that, I can find it. And you can extrapolate this to meeting notes, to even photos if you want. There's so many different ways you can do it. But the key is to, first of all, have the date in there if possible. And second of all, be as descriptive as possible. Always thinking, as we said, how are you going to look for this later?
Yeah, I would always recommend the more descriptive you are, the better. Because there's very little downside to be very brief, if that makes sense, right? So like Phil, as an example, here in the live chat is saying, you know, one of the things he wishes he had done is, a lot of times when it comes to naming something with using the years, he would use the last two digits, like 07 as an example, right? Or 17, which would be, you know, 2007 or 2017. But it can make things a little bit more difficult sometimes to find something, especially if you later decide to change it to being four digits or something like that, right? And so I would always recommend using old digits if possible. So YYYY, MMDD, right? So four digit number for a year, two digit for a month, two digit for a day. And so that way you keep it really consistent. And no matter if you're in the United States or in Europe or whatever date format you use, if you know it's always starting with a year, you avoid any sort of confusion, right? And then anyone who's lived in the United States or came from Europe or moved between those two continents and other parts of the world knows, like, it's always weird when you're looking at dates sometimes because you're not sure if this is a month or a day, right? And what order something is presented. When it comes to naming something, the approach I would actually take is the extra 2 seconds it takes to name something can save you minutes or hours in the future. So to give an example, it might take an extra 3 seconds to name that Citibank joint account that you have, right, Brooks? But in order for you to find it in the future, you would avoid minutes, if not multiple hours, of clicking through PDFs opening them, scanning them, seeing if this is the right one. If it's not, closing it and then moving on to the next one. Right? And you can do this for hundreds of files and go, oh my gosh, I'm looking for this one specific thing for my tax account or reporting or something else. And you go, oh my gosh, I can't find it. What do I do now? And you have to go through like hundreds of files, and it can be really frustrating and really draining. And anytime a task like that comes up, you know, you can avoid it and say, you know what, I'm going to procrastinate on it because it's probably going to take a while before I actually find it, right? So those extra 2 or 3 seconds of investing in the name can save you so much time down the line. And so if you just know how to name something, it makes it so much easier to find stuff in the future. And I like the idea that you proposed there too by Brett, which is think about your future self. If you had to find this in the future, what would you type to find this? And my personal recommendation is always to use a minimum of 4 keywords. So like it could be a year, it could be a name, a noun, or something descriptive. Even when it comes to like photos, you could be like, this could be Tan, and this could be Tan and Mom, and Tan and Nam and Keem, which are my 2 brothers, or Tan and Keem, or Tan and Nam. And so you have all these different variations, but at least now you can quickly find photos. And so if I'm looking for a photo with me plus my 2 brothers, I can quickly find it. Also, but if I need to find like a photo of just me and one of my other brothers, I can find that as well, right? So the naming makes such a big difference. And so the approach that most people have, the analogy I like to give there is they think like a firefighter. So they'll name whatever comes to mind. They're thinking about the present. They're dealing with it right now. It's really pressing. It's urgent. They're just trying to get it, you know, out of the way and get it over with. Right. And just deal with it as if you have to like fight for your life and move on to the next big thing now. However, I like to think of it as being a chess player. So if you want to actually think 1 or 2 steps ahead and anticipate what might happen in the future and then make that move. And in this case, how you would think 1 or 2 steps ahead is, how would you name this? How would you search for this in the future? Or if I needed this in the future, what would I do or type or search for in order to find or access this document? And once you think about that, that's how you would name something, right? And so you want to think like a chess player and essentially think 1 or 2 steps ahead so you know you're helping yourself in the future not be dreadful and wasting time and have another time squander on your hand where you're like wasting, you know, 5 to 10 minutes finding something that could have been accessed in 1 or 2 seconds.
Jeanette in the chat gives a great example. You know, we talked about description, but sometimes you can put other things in there that you find are helpful. Some people I know put, like, if they're filing away invoices, they put the amount of the invoice in the file name. I don't personally do that, but I know people do. And Jeanette is saying that she works with a lot of documents that have, and it's the most important thing about that document other than, you know, who it's for, is the expiration date. So she also adds those to the name so that she doesn't even have to open the document to see it. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Your name has to be something that serves you and that serves what it is that you're trying to do. So that's a great tip for customizing the date to work for you.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, okay, what's a good practice or best practice for naming something? We have that covered on the webinar. So again, it's much easier to explain and teach and show you on a visual format and platform rather than audio. So if you want to learn our naming system and our naming convention that we use at Agent Efficiency and in our personal life, go register for the webinar and we'll send you and we're going to show you how we do it. So again, it's theproductivityshow.com/organize. So again, that is tip number 2, right? Have a consistent, descriptive, and simple naming convention. All right, let's move on to tip number 3 here, and that is to create an easy organization system. So where we think most people fail at this is that they're never being taught how to organize digital information. The foundation or template or fundamentals are not there, and so it makes it really easy for us to kind of like get messy, screw up, put stuff all over the place and make sure that we actually never pay attention to it. Right? So no one has taught us how to manage an email inbox. No one has taught us how to manage thousands of files and notes and photos, right? And because we have no foundation or structure, more importantly, in place, it allows us to be really messy and we have to rely on brute force and kind of finding stuff by random in order to get the things that we need, right? And so the analogy I like to give here is everyone has a home, right? And you have a kitchen, you have a bedroom, you have a bathroom, right? And there's certain things that belong in certain rooms. If you had a knife, right, you wouldn't put that in your bedroom, right? Unless you wanted to protect yourself or something, right? But you also wouldn't use it in the bathroom, right? Same thing, if you had a bath towel, you wouldn't put it in your kitchen area. Even though you're storing it, it's not really in the right place. And if you needed it, it's not quickly accessible, right? When you think about your home, there's like certain rooms have like a certain theme or a certain structure where certain things belong, right? Just like your keys belong in a certain area. And whenever you're searching for your keys, you know where they are because they have a home. Like everything has a home. That's a big concept that we have in our system. And so a lot of people don't know what that home is for their system, right? And because there's no system in place, it gets lost. And so Brooks is one of the geniuses behind all of this because he essentially created what we call an easy organization system, EOS. And we call internally like the AAA method because it classifies how you would categorize something. So Brooks, can you explain to people how it works and how you discovered this?
I've done a lot of thinking about why it is that most organization projects fail. And like you said, it's because a lot of times people just start doing it. They don't really give too much thought about everything that needs to happen. But another reason why is just most systems are just too complicated. We call it easy organization system for a reason, is because people, you know, maybe they read about it online or whatever, and they, you know, spend way too much time overthinking this stuff. And they come up with these really elaborate filing systems and these really complicated systems that, first of all, they take too much work. They seem good at first, but over time, it just becomes a hassle to remember where to save things. Or maybe it's like a hassle trying to dig through their folders or albums or notebooks to find what it is that they need. And it's because their system is just too complicated. And so really what I've tried to do and we've tried to do is think to ourselves, what is a simple system that, first of all, has worked really well for us, but second of all, allows us to be really, really focused on what we need to focus on and when we need to focus on, but everything else is still really easy and really accessible. And so that's why we came up with the AAA method. And this is something that people in the live stream chat have been asking about. So I hope you're very happy to finally discuss the AAA method. And really, what we've found is you want to segregate your files, your notes, and your photos into kind of like three top-level organizations. And so that's where the AAA comes in. The first one is active. So A, active. And this is anything you're currently working on. So it could be a work project, but it doesn't have to be. It could also be like a kid's sports season, stuff related to that. It could be a relationship you're developing with somebody. It could be a course you're taking. It could be anything. It's something that right now you want to be focused on. That is your active session. The next thing is what we call assets. So that's the second A of the AAA, assets. And these are things you want to have handy to refer to, but you're not like currently working on or working with. So it could be maybe reading materials. It could be your someday maybe stuff in a GTD parlance. It could be like photos you want to have stored away. It could be menus. It could be reference material. It could be your paperless documents that are scanned. These are all kind of go under the heading of assets. So they're not cluttering up your active working stuff, but they're there right there when you need them. So that's the second A, assets. And then the third A is the archive. So these are things that you don't need, but you want to keep stored just in case you need to access it in the future. So these are kind of like the opposite of the active. These are the inactive. So when you're done with that client project, when you're done with your kids' sports season, but you don't want to like delete the stuff, you want to keep it for whatever reason. When you're done with the course that you're currently taking, you don't need to have it like right handy. You can put it away to your archive so it's not cluttering up the rest of your stuff. And the great thing about having a really simple, easy system like this is it is totally platform independent. So you can use it on Mac, you can use it on Windows, you can use it on mobile, you can use it with files on your computer, you can use it in Google Drive, Dropbox, Evernote, task managers. If you wanted to, you could use it in your email program. Really, anything that you want to apply organization to, you can set up a simple system like this. And again, we keep saying this, but it's true. You know, this is an audio podcast. If what I just said isn't really clear, it'll make a lot more sense visually if you go to theproductivityshow.com/organize. But hopefully this makes sense. The AAA system, segregating things into your active stuff, your assets, and your archive.
An example of this, how I apply this both in the physical world and in a digital world, would be, as an example, in the physical world, I have a lot of books at home, right? So I have books that I'm currently reading. These would be considered, quote unquote, active books, right? These are books I'm actively reading right now. And these are the ones that are in my bedroom oftentimes, because that's where I do most of my reading. I have like a chair there and I'll sit there and I have like one or two books that are sitting there that I'm actively reading. So those are the ones that I'm trying to actively finish. Like I have like a project or a goal that's related to this. And this is where the active stuff belongs, right? Then I have a bunch of books that I consider assets. These are things that I need handy and that I need to refer to every now and then. And so I have those at my desk. So I usually have a stack of books near my desk that I'm always referring back to. It could be like a copywriting book for ideas. It could be a marketing book. It could be like something that is scientific literature, research papers that I'm always referring back to because I need to find a certain statistic or ideas or a different like angles to use in whatever we're trying to teach, right? So that's something what I would consider an asset. And then I have stuff in the archive, which is basically my bookshelf. My bookshelf is essentially my archive, which houses all the books that I'm really, you know, don't actively need right now. They're considered stuff that I would like to at some point maybe check out, but they're not really stuff that I, you know, use day to day or even on a weekly basis. But I like to keep it stored, right? I'm not getting rid of it. They're just inactive. And that's what the archive structure is there. And so when you think about it that way, you can apply that to anything, right? Whether it's Evernote, right? You can have notes that are part of your active area where you have like stuff related to your projects, to your goals, anything that you're currently working on right now, right? And then you can have notes that are belonging in the asset bucket, which are stuff that you frequently want to refer to but aren't currently actively working on right now, right? So it could be something like a morning routine checklist that I use. Or it could be like a weekly planning checklist that I use in Evernote because I don't need to work on it. I already have it. I just need to reference it every now and then, right? And it could be also other stuff like meeting notes or quarterly goals that I reference and so on. And then I have stuff in the archive bucket, notes that I really don't need that much anymore. And they're just kind of like put away. And oftentimes the idea here is out of sight, out of mind. I'm a big believer of that too. It's like, if I don't see it, I don't have to like mentally take up any space about it. And so I know that I could always find it if needed, but if it's not visually there, I can focus on what's currently in front of me, which is oftentimes the active stuff and the assets that I need, right? And again, you can apply this to OmniFocus, right? If you followed our OmniFocus course, you would see that this hierarchy is kind of there too, like active stuff, stuff that you reference every now and then, which is the assets, and then the archive, stuff that you don't really use that much anymore, but still want to every now and then access if needed, right? So again, the beautiful method, which we call the AA method or AAA method, is all about how do you apply this to whichever platform you use. So again, whether you're on Windows, Mac, or whatever, it doesn't really matter. You can apply this to anything. And so it's easier to demonstrate, right, on a visual platform. So again, if you want to learn from us on how we do this and how you can apply this to your personal life, whether you use different devices and so on, go check out that webinar so we can show it to you in person, okay? So again, that's tip number 3. And that is to create an easy organization system. And you can use the AAA method here to kind of sort it and start it there as well. All right, we're coming to the end of the show here. Brooks, I know you and I have talked a lot about this stuff. And again, we want to encourage people to sign up for the webinar because we want to show you on screen how to do this. Because it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to kind of show and tell. So if you want to be part of our webinar or get the recording of it, go to theproductivityshow.com/organize. And the first step that I would recommend that people do is to start dragging your favorites folder into your sidebar and start noticing how often you start to use those favorite folders. If you already have it set up and you want some extra credit, I would say start noticing how often you are looking for files, for notes, or photos, and you can't find them. chances are you're going to notice how much time you're wasting throughout the day if it's not in your consciousness just yet. So those are two things I would recommend you do next. Again, next week's episode is all about how to win back 1.5 hours a day with this productivity strategy we are going to reveal on the new episode. And again, if you want to have links to everything that we talked about today, you can go to the show notes at theproductivityshow.com/351. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.